So if you got your word, amen.
Amen.
Go ahead and give God a praise for the word
amen.
As we go into the word.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so even before we go to the word today, we're going to introduce the necessity of spiritual maturity, but also physical and emotional maturity. Amen. And so the first scripture we want to reference is 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9. And it amazed me that this scripture is actually categorized as a description of spiritual immaturity. Because if we're going to mature, we need to know what the word says about immaturity. Amen. It says, if you're there, say amen. For this reason, make every effort to supplement, someone shout or add to, your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control. Somebody shout, Lord, help me. And self-control adds steadfastness, and to steadfastness, godliness. Verse 7, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. So we're not going to deal with each one of those today, but we're going to break them down over the weeks, okay? Because each of those categories are vitally important. Why do I say that? Verse 8 says, for if, somebody shout, if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks such qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from former sins. Amen.
That scripture speaks for itself. That's the foundation of the base scripture that we're going to be ministering off of probably for about 5 to 6 weeks. We want to introduce it each week. Today we're going to be talking more about, once again, what Pastor Vicky said, spiritual, physical, and emotional maturity. And so now look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12. When you get there, somebody shout glory. Clock running now. Y'all can't take all day. Teacher don't have but 45 minutes per class, and then you got to change class. Amen. So you got to be ready to go. You got to come to class ready. How many ready to learn?
Amen. How many excited about learning? Hallelujah. You don't have to sweat and go home with your hair all messed up. You just get to be taught and receive.
Hebrews 5 and 12, it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers.
Mm-hmm. Ought to be.
For though by this time you ought to be teachers.
Ought to be.
You need someone to teach you again.
Mm. Wow,
the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Look at somebody say, it's time to grow up.
Time to grow up.
How many have been walking with Jesus, walking in the way of Christianity for a year? Let me just see your hand. For 5 years. The 1 year people keep your hands up, 5 year people raise your hands. Don't be scared. More than 5 years. Raise your hand. All of you ought to be teachers. All of you ought to be in a position now where you don't need another sermon or somebody to come and tell you what you've heard for the last 5+ years, and you still shouting on that thing, and you still sitting on the back row, coming to church late, doing what you want, running out the door, where you ought to be developed past that point. You ought not have your mama calling you on Sunday morning now saying, are you going to church today?
Wow.
You should have grew up past that point. You've been married 30 years, and your mama's still calling you, want to know, are you going to church today? You ought to be past that phone call stage. You ought to be past that stage where somebody, what you going to do, Sunday child? Oh, no, I'm trying to see, am I going to church, or if I'm going to go do something else? You ought to be off of milk now. When you were drinking milk, somebody warmed that bottle up. Somebody had to check the temperature. Mm-hmm. They had to shake it up. They had to bring it to you. Then they had to burp you. Look at somebody and tell them, we're beyond burping now. You're beyond that place.
That's
of somebody
good.
Got to put you on their shoulder,
wow.
pat you on your back, and tell you how big of a boy you are, how big of a girl you are, how good you're doing in church. I like the way you serve. I like the way you do this. Yeah. Stop worrying about what people tell you that they like about you to make you feel good about yourself. If you don't feel good on your own about what you do, you ain't going to feel good for about 5 minutes when I tell you what you do, because 3 minutes later, you're going to find something to condemn yourself about. Look at somebody and say, you got to start practicing your own powers of discernment, practicing your own will, practicing your own way of encouraging yourself. You can't just do for what people are going to say, how people are going to say. But man, you got a relationship with God now, and you've had this relationship for a number of years. And so now I don't need Pastor C or Pastor Vicky to burp me. I don't need Pastor C or Pastor Vicky to fix my bottle. I can cut my own food up now. I can go to the kitchen and I can fix what I want. I can eat what I want. I can pick up my Bible. I can read what I want. And I can swallow and chew. And now I can not only eat it, but I can teach what I just ate to somebody else. By now you ought to be teachers.
Can the teachers just raise your hand again?
Come on,
raise your hand.
But
this is what I have to do, Pastor C. Because Elder Ray is pastoral leader of our team ministry, a.k.a. training ground of team ministry. Step forward, Elder Ray. Elder Tina is pastoral leader of our children's ministry, another, vital training ground. Come forth. Teachers, raise your hand. Because the concern seems to be in kingdom that they haven't called me to get the mic and to teach and preach in the corporate training ground of Living Waters Christian Fellowship. But David didn't get anointed and appointed, in the forefront of his daddy's field. He was found somewhere in the background taking care of the sheep to the point where they called all the sons forth and forgot that David even existed because he was somewhere laboring in his father's field. In an inconspicuous, invisible position. Come on, y'all. And team ministry. Raise your hand, Elder Ray. Teachers, to be able to release what God has given you to our 13 to 18-year-olds. How many of you have gone through trials and tribulations that have developed in some arenas of your life and feel that now you have enough knowledge in you? Come on, that you can release that knowledge or impart that insight or wisdom to a teenager. Raise your hand. I decree in the name of Jesus, before today's service is over, you're going to have a prompting and an urgency in your spirit to locate Elder Ray Miller and let him know you need to release your ministry gift of the teacher to the team ministry.
All right.
Suffer not the little children to come unto me. Come on. For of such is will inherit the kingdom of God. But how will they inherit something that someone never sat down to teach and tell them about?
Amen.
The children's ministry is the one place. I'm just going to drop this piece in. That if you want to find favor with the Lord, you sacrifice some time over in children's ministry, sitting down at their level. Come on. Where you're not up exalted and elevated over the people. I dare you. Find a quiet place and sit down and come to a child's meek and humble level. And begin to teach them about the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, the favor, the favor of God that will rest on your life will blow your mind.
Look at somebody and
say, it'll blow your mind.
You ought to be a teacher.
And PC, we can only teach what we have walked ourselves.
That's it. The danger is, y'all can have a seat.
Oh, yes, thank you. Give it up for Elder Ray, Elder Tina.
The danger is that's two arenas that we can practice teaching. But the danger is we're so naive or gullible that we don't think we have anything to offer. You see, when you go into those two arenas, but not only those two, when you go into any arena of ministry or whatever, people don't care, man, about how deep you are.
Surely.
I'm telling you now, people don't care how deep you are. We think we have to be deep.
Right.
And have to bring some deep level of revelation. But it's falling to the ground because if you're not talking to people that's been trained at a level of revelation that they can handle the deep, all you're doing is polishing your resume.
Yeah.
All you're doing is getting people to go out and talk about how bright you are. But the day of people bragging about their pastors ought to be over. It has to be a day now where people can go out and people ought to talk about how well you're versed.
Yes.
How well you are in communicating. But most of us leave the church from shouting and we develop instant spiritual lockjaw.
Yes.
We go into the restaurant and we don't even want them to know we just left church. And they had to work Sunday and couldn't come and get a word. And you came to get a meal from them, but you just received a meal that they need.
Yes, yes.
But they come and have to stand at your table and eavesdrop.
Yes, yes.
On how good God is versus you saying to them, hey, I know you weren't able to go today, but in my place, I'm not trying to proselytize. Yes. I'm not even inviting you to come to my church. But I'm telling you, there's a place where God wants you to grow, baby.
Yes.
He wants you to grow in him, and he's moving you into a place of just tremendous maturity. I'm not telling you to prophesy.
Yes.
I'm telling you just to encourage that person right where they are and then cut it off. Yes. Go ahead and get your meal and finish eating.
Yes.
And when you leave, let the Spirit finish talking. Let the Spirit finish saying what he wants to say. All he wants you to do is be a conduit or an introduction. But most of us go in and we just talk to the people we came with. We might as well fire up the kitchen back here and make this a restaurant right after service because that's the only people we're going to talk to. But the maturity is get the word and then take the word to those that you're going to encounter on the rest of the day. Look at the word. That's Hebrews 5:12. You ought to be teachers. And we're just reading the scriptures and this is the introduction. But then Hebrews 6:1. Hebrews 6:1. These two scriptures are parallel. Hebrews 6:1 says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ. In this house, if you've been here for years, you've heard Apostle Banks teach on the doctrines of Christ. There were CDs and DVD series on the doctrines of Christ. We spent a lot of years dealing with the doctrines of Christ. But look at this. He says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teaching of leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity.
Mm-hmm.
So touch somebody. Say, go on to maturity.
Go on to maturity.
Touch them again and tell them, go on to maturity.
Move on to maturity.
I went down there and it was just like going to see Dr. Phil. Mm-hmm. It was him and Oprah sitting up in the pulpit just having a conversation. But look at the kind of money Dr. Phil and Oprah got.
Teaching the people.
Look at how many people pay to come and see them and you get to come down and get this thing for nothing and you're struggling with giving an offering. You're struggling with giving an offering, and that's of your free will. They got a ticket price when you come to see them.
To come in the door.
You understand? You on your own free will can get this thing. But look at this. He said, leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. We ought not even have to take up an offering in church.
Oh, wow.
We ought to be able to just put a box at the door and you come in out of your maturity. You say it's my desire to put it in. But because what we're going to deal with in the future weeks, because the pulpit don't trust you.
Wow. We have to provide an opportunity.
But when we grow to maturity, the offering ought to be off the table. And that's 30 minutes you can have in your service because you have grown up so much that you say, I want to give it when I come in or I want to give it when I go out.
Wow.
Let us leave the elementary principles.
Elementary.
Got to talk to you about the covenant of Abraham. Got to preach to you about the principle of Abraham. Got to read to you Malachi 3:8. Got to rehearse Luke 6:38. Got to come to 1 Corinthians 9. Got to tell you what you already know week after week after week after week. If you ain't got it by now, baby, you probably ain't gonna get it. And we're probably wasting your time and our time trying to convince you to grow up. Huh, my. We were trying to convince you to grow up. This ain't in our notes, but we just talking, right?
We just flowing.
My. He said, let us leave.
Starting point, right, baby?
Let us leave the elementary principles.
Principles, and it just hit me. Elementary school is the starting point. After
starting
that,
point.
You have middle school, you have high school, you have business school, you have college, you have university. There's so many other levels of academic, advancement that we go through. So the elementary teachings of doctrines of Christ is just the starting point. But look at your neighbor and say, it is not and has never been designed to be the finishing point. Amen.
It's the start. You got that scripture? You got it? You see that thing? So first part, you ought to be teachers.
Teachers.
Dealing with solid meat. Mm-hmm. This Hebrews 6:1 said, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ.
Amen.
And go on to maturity. Am I fluctuating? Go on to maturity. Uh-huh. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God.
That's good.
Look at this. Let us leave. So look at somebody and say, you got to leave some things.
You have to leave some things.
You got to leave some things. You got to walk away from some elementary principles. Do I need to do something differently? You got to leave some things to be able to move forward. He says, let us leave the elementary doctrines of Christ.
Amen.
Pastor Vicki, 1 Corinthians 13:11.
Amen. It does. Let's go there if you would, or if you're taking notes and plan on securing a CD, just write it down.
But before you read 1 Corinthians 13:11, leaving the elementary doctrine, you understand when the church grow up, we won't have to stay here all day? We stay here all day because the church has become a daycare center. And we give you 2 hours of care every week. The church has become a daycare center where we house you for 2 hours on elementary principles. When we need to be so grown up and we need to be moving so forward in the things. Stay with me. Jesus didn't have a mic. You see, Jesus didn't have a mic. He had to sit down and talk to 5,000 on a hill. And sometimes he went up, sometimes he went down. But technology is where, let's go handheld. Technology sometimes will disrupt or get in the way, but technology can be an interference. But Jesus didn't have a mic. Bring me that handheld, Minister Ken, and then we go there. But when we leave the elementary doctrines of Christ, we are able to move forward and to deal with the things of God in an arena or in a place where, man, we come focused on what the assignment is. We come focused on what the assignment is. And in focusing on what that assignment is, we are aware and we understand. He muted me from the back. We're aware of what it is that we need to do when we come into the place. You see, distractions come in teaching moments. You see, distractions come in teaching moments because it wants to take your attention off what it is that you're supposed to be learning. And so in the classroom, the teacher has to eliminate distractions. And so when there's a class clown, see, if they don't come and check, they have to send that class clown to the office, or they have to send them to in-school suspension, or they have to remove the class clown. What you have to do is eliminate the distraction so others can continue to grow and learn.
Amen.
But in church, we give more attention to the distraction instead of eliminating it.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody act a fool in the church, we send everybody to that person. And that's what they're looking for, attention.
Mm-hmm.
But what you ought to do is send that person out the church for a minute so that the people that came to learn and grow can get what they need, and then you deal with that person after service. But we cancel service to go and deal with that person, and now people leave and say, man, I came down there and spent a whole hour and a half, and all they did was lay hands and preach. That's elementary doctrine.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, baby.
Amen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13:11. It says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child.
And all of us have been children.
I thought like a child. Come on, I even reasoned like a child. Oh, but here's the exciting part. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. Amen. Maturity is necessary not only in ministry, but I was looking at it, it's necessary also in the family. Yeah, and the one thing that dropped in my spirit is, you know, family, we oftentimes hear about that individual who will get on the phone and spread the daily family news. The news, the family news. We know from elementary teachings that good news is the gospel. But bad news, I come to announce to you, is not the gossip. Gospel is the gossip. It's the gossip. So am I saying, you know, don't say anything about the family as long as it's the gospel? As long as building up, edifying, come on, and encouraging. But when we lack maturity in the arena of our family, we want to talk about everything bad. Who lost the job? Who got a divorce? Who left the husband? Who slept on the couch last night? We want to spread the bad family news. And that immature believer is gossiping.
No matter how you look at it, say good news, gospel. Bad news, gossip. Which am I doing?
Look at this, though.
I know.
Look at this.
Which am I doing?
Gospel.
What am I spreading?
Gospel is good news about the things of God. Mm-hmm. Gossip is good news about the things of the devil. They're the same thing, but it's depending on who they're pointing to.
I like that.
Gossip is the gospel. It's the gospel of the enemy.
Yes.
And many of us have been converted, but we're still carrying the gospel of the enemy.
Wow. Which am I spreading? Let's keep it moving. Y'all being ask yourself, which am I spreading? All right, on the job, you know, maturity. I saw it. I said, how many of us still in the lounge during lunch break? Talking about upper management and everything they're not doing and not saying. Come on. A mature believer don't flow like that. We take advantage of every 30-minute hour break you're going to give me. I'm going to take advantage of it, and it's not going to be spent in the lounge degrading upper management. Let me just drop this quick nugget. That's why a lot of times we don't make it to upper management, because we're so busy coming up against the place we need to be operating in.
Now, we're going to talk about that, because that's a delay. That's a developmental delay.
Yes, it is.
That's built into behavior.
And that's an immature believer. In the marriage, husband and wives acting like kids. How you say that, Pastor V? Because we go a week or 2 weeks, a month or 2 months without talking to the one that we were called to be the helpmate to.
Y'all remember them playground days?
I can almost see a day. But now we get to the point where we go a week and we try to see how long can we go without talking to each other, just to see who's going to come to the other person first. And if it takes a month, we'll act like a kid and sit on our communication and conversation towards one another for a whole month. How childish.
You ain't talking to me? I ain't talking to you.
Yup. In business.
Don't y'all remember that on the merry-go-round? Spinning it around, and you get off, and I ain't talking to you no more. You ain't my friend.
Yeah.
Childish behavior, but we're supposed to be grown up now. And a part of one of the indicators of maturity is the ability to communicate in crisis.
Wow. Yes, sir. Yeah. And because we do it so well in our home, we don't have a problem doing it in the house of God. When someone offends us, we have no problem walking past them and acting like we don't even see them. Y'all know, tell the truth and shame the devil. Because a good excuse can always be, what? I didn't see her. You know the devil is a lie. You got peripheral vision. You see everything in front of you and to the far left and right of you. You can't tell me you didn't see me standing right here within your peripheral view. But because I'm conditioned at home and can go a month without talking to my husband, it's nothing for me to come in church and go a week without talking to my brother or sister. How can you say you love the one whom you've never seen and can't even love the one whom you dwell with each and every day? I love you, Lord. Ouch. Somebody say, ouch, ouch, ouch. Yeah, and then I just jot down with the kids, you know, we find ourselves sometimes, not us, because we have grown. See, we are immature in some arenas, but we have grown in others. So that's why we encourage you. You're going to say, ouch, and at one part of our teaching, but then you're going to say, whew, soothing to know I'm not all bad. I'm not all immature. I have grown, Vivian, in some arenas of my life. You're going to say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen. So we've grown outside of this one. But you see parents, you know, with the kids, immaturity, arguing back and forth with the kids as if they're the child and the child paying the bills. You know, that's just a waste of time, immaturity, arguing back and forth when you're the one, come on, that's covering that child. And in our health, I just jot down, you know, the individual.
Hold on, you're running a little too fast.
I know, baby. I'm just trying to...
I know it's just the introduction. It's just the introduction.
But when
we deal with the children.
The children.
And when the parents are acting like the child.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
The parent is probably still a child.
Mm-hmm. When the child
but they've
your
just
best friend.
Reproduced early.
And so reproduction doesn't make you a parent. You understand? Having the ability to reproduce doesn't make you a parent.
No, sir.
Having the ability to train, teach, impart, raise, and discipline is the act of being a parent. But when you still acting like the child, you just know how to have sex.
Wow.
But you ain't learned how to be a parent yet, and that's the problem in the world. We got too many sexual beings,
Jesus.
But we don't have enough parents.
Jesus. When you have to ask your child, where are we going this weekend?
Being childish is performing a function that you can't handle. You can't handle what comes after that function. And so now you know how to lay down with somebody and birth a child, but you didn't know you got to take care of that child.
Yes.
And so you call yourself a daddy, but you just a boy.
Yes.
You still a child. You still an infant, and somebody got to make you do what you were supposed to do. When the court makes you pay child support, that's the daddy and you the child.
Wow. Immaturity.
You ought to know to take care of that child, but you wanted the benefit. You wanted the milk.
Wow, the milk.
But you didn't know you were going to have to require some meat of you. You were going to have to grow into this revelation of what do I do with this being that we just created.
Wow.
I'm done right there. Go ahead.
Let us sing a call.
I'm done right there.
Is it a hit and miss? Are you just trying to have fun?
Walking around in the NFL, got five mamas.
Come on,
15
baby.
Kids.
I love it. Jesus. Wow.
Standing in the pulpit, supposed to be a spiritual father, but a predator of your children. That's something wrong with your development and your behavior. If you're looking at your choir members, if you're looking at the people that you're supposed to be pastoring, trying to find out which woman can you get with at the service.
Wow.
I ain't so convinced that deacon didn't have a right to come in there with a gun.
Come on, because enough is enough, and after a while, people get fed up and explode.
Judgment is coming, and it's starting in the house. And so if I'm supposed to be a spiritual parent, I ought to be a spiritual parent and act like a spiritual parent and not be a predator. Not looking for who got on what I like and who can I get with afterwards. That's immature behavior.
Immature.
When I was a child, it was okay to have a girlfriend in this school and at that school.
Okay.
But when I became a man, I got a wife now. And my wife meets my needs, and we parent our children, and we co-parent the people that God has given us.
Wow.
But when we act mature, when we act immature, now we can't control our own lustful desires.
My God.
Now our lustful desires triumph our anointing. And so now the anointing is reduced to trivial, and now we put on a show to see who we can attract.
Yeah.
But look at somebody say, the pulpit is growing up.
The pulpit
Let me prophesy
up.
Before we move.
Go ahead, baby.
We ain't even in our introduction yet.
Go ahead.
Let me prophesy. I prophesy
Jesus.
That the pastors that are predators, apostles that are predators, priests that are predators, I prophesy that the maturity of the sheep is going to rise up, and the sheep are going to evict them out of their churches and say, if we don't get the real, we'd rather have nothing. We'll put on a CD from somebody else and put them on the screens, and we'll have service through the anointing before we put a vessel in front of us that's just going to pray on us.
Jesus.
I prophesy that the day of immature shepherds is over.
Jesus.
The day of immature shepherds is over. The day of immature shepherds and the
Jesus.
Day of immature fivefold ministry gifts, the day of immature worship leaders is over. I prophesy
Jesus.
That there's an alignment between the men of God, the minstrels of God, the psalmists of God, and the people of God, that
Jesus.
There will be no delineation.
Yes.
We shall all be able to learn from one another. By this time, you ought to be teachers. Let me say this. By this time next year, you will be teachers.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
Let's give a definition of maturity.
Yes.
At least so we can say we taught something.
Wow. You know, this is a teaching house. We're going to give the definition of maturity. I know. Because, you know, he right at my pet peeve, right, on finances, even when you look at that, on that arena of finances, the undisciplined spending with no thought of establishing a savings and emergency fund, a retirement account or a college fund for our kids, just undisciplined spending and no problem with it. That's the immature believer. Overindulgence, already has enough but still want more. That's immaturity. Instant gratification, I need it and I need it now. Whether I have the funds to pay for it or not, I have a backup called credit that I can get more and more in debt. That's undisciplined believer. Somebody say ouch.
But then we quote that scripture we like, I'm the lender and not the borrower.
How are we going to ever be the lender not the borrower if we keep borrowing? That's the infamous. How are you going to be something if you keep doing the opposite? All right, I'm done with that.
Let me say this. Some of y'all need to get rid of some stuff you got.
Yes.
Yes. To reposition yourself so that you can become the lender and not the borrower. So some of us, in particular in the African-American community, we show our wealth in what we drive and where we live.
Yes.
And what we put on our back, and we become so materialistic that we prop up the economy of the countries that we reside.
Mm-hmm.
When we ought to now be past that point of materialism and past that point of having to show you what I got. You see, Sam Walton, wow. You shop in his stores all
yes,
over
sir.
The country, but this man drove a Ford F-150 pickup truck.
Come on.
Could have bought any vehicle in the world that he wanted. Could have had one made just for him that nobody
sure
else
could.
Had. But he drove an F-150 and went on to give billions of dollars to his wife and all of his children. He understood a principle called inheritance. We understand a principle called consumerism.
Yes.
We spend our resources to show what we got instead of setting up resources so that our grandchildren can stand
yes.
up and say, my great,
yes.
great, great granddaddy
yes.
laid this aside for me because he understood maturity and sacrifice.
Yes.
You don't have to do it all in your season because there are some coming behind you
mm-hmm.
that's going to finish what you started.
Finish what we start.
You think you got to accomplish everything, but you're really just laying a foundation
yes.
for many that's going to come behind you.
Yes.
So stop putting pressure on yourself. I got to get this house. I got to get this car. I got to do this. No, you don't.
Yes.
You got to say, well, what if they come behind you and waste it?
Yes. Come on. Come on.
You're going to be with Jesus, so it ain't going to matter.
Yeah. And you know, babe, whenever you lay a foundation, just think about it. Building a house, laying a foundation, something has to be broken. And that's the breaking of the generational curses that we were born into. So if we see and know that there are areas of financial need in our life, come on, and we still find ourselves spending, come on, credit and debit, restaurants, Walmart, Sam's Club, something is not lining up to show that the generational curse of overindulgence and instant gratification and debt and poverty has been broken in our life. And that's where we apply that blood. Come on, the elementary teachings. Oh, yeah. We're like, well, how do I get out of this? How do I move forward? How do I lay the foundation? How do I leave a legacy? How do I teach my children how to save and invest? Come on. It's by applying the elementary teachings of the power in the blood to break the generational curses that you entered into through the bloodline of your forefathers. That's elementary teaching, right, Elder Gill? That's elementary. So none of us in this room with the powerful teaching that's been going on from this pulpit should still be walking in financial debt and oppression, because we should have applied the blood of Jesus and broken that thing by now and laid a brand spanking new foundation where we know if nobody else leaves a legacy for the children and the grandchildren, I will. I'll be the first one to start the legacy. And guess what happens? From you to everyone after you will be an inheritor of the blessings, come on, that you have now released into the atmosphere. The generational curses would be broken. Amen.
Look at that. Go ahead. And
okay, definition of maturity. So it's necessary across the board, but the definition of maturity, jot this down, full growth or development. The state of being fully grown or developed. It says to be in a mature state represents the condition of being fully ripe, fully aged, or fully grown. And then it says especially mentally or emotionally. Places emphasis on that. And in psychology, we noted that maturity is the ability to respond to the environment in an appropriate manner. The response is usually learned. Isn't that interesting? The response of maturity is usually learned rather than instinctive. So this is indicative of sometimes we have to just sit down and be taught, because maturity comes with a response of what you have learned rather than just being an instinctive action. A mature individual shows the mental, emotional, and physical characteristics associated with a fully developed adult person. So you'll have to get the CD to capture those definitions.
Look at this. The ability to respond to the environment in an appropriate manner. It's hard to do that if emotionally we haven't developed a maturity for coming into new arenas. When we talk about learned behavior, if I want to know why you do some things you do, if your parents are still around, I just hang out with them for a day. If I want to know why your children do some of the things they do, I just hang out with you for a day. Because the behavior is learned from what you see.
That's good.
So when you go into the grocery store and that child is throwing a tantrum at the counter.
Wow.
All I got to do is come home and see how you act when you don't get your way.
As the parent. They acting like you.
Come with you home and see how you kick and scream and throw a tantrum. And that child is mimicking the behavior of what they've seen, of what they've experienced, where they ain't never seen us fight. We be in our own room. You understand discernment is not in the room with you. You understand your spirit transitions from the room that you're in throughout your house. And so it ain't just what you see that you influence them with. It's what you release in that house. And so if you release a spirit of frustration, your child will act frustrated.
Yes. Yes.
If you manage and learn how to release a spirit of peace in chaotic moments, your child will be able to go through that line and you said no, and they might ask why one time. And if they ask why, you give them a mature answer because it's communication. But I'm on the model that if the child starts kicking and screaming and throwing a tantrum, the parent ought to get on the floor and start kicking and screaming and throwing a tantrum. You said, Pastor, I lost his mind. The child will stop. Because they'll look at you and say, my parents done lost their mind. What is wrong with you? You'll show them how they acting. And they'll be like, can we go to the car now?
They'll be embarrassed.
It becomes a teaching moment. But when you deal with this maturity, write this down. Yes. And then we close right here. We did all of that work, Vicky, and we on the introduction.
We knew it was going to work like that. Taking our time to make the much-needed deposits into those that we love.
Look at this. Write this down. As believers, we must continue growing
beyond the basics of our faith.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a chance to write that. As believers, we must continue growing beyond the basics of our faith. Because there's a second part to that. Don't put a period.
Mm-hmm.
As believers, we must continue growing beyond the basics of our faith without doing away with the basic instructions of faith. The last part, without doing away with the basic instructions of faith. So many times we've grown and we want to be deep, but we've thrown away the foundation. Mm-hmm. We've thrown away the basic instructions, and so now we're deep without a foundation, and we run around telling people, I ain't no denominational person, I'm apostolic. What'd that mean? Child, you know apostolic like they was in the Old Testament. You heard new language, but you didn't take time to learn. And so now apostolic has become a new denomination. It was never supposed to be a denomination, but because you threw away the basics and the foundation, now telling people you apostolic, you have made it a denomination when it was never supposed to be. And so now we apostolic and prophetic. That's a new denomination in many places when it should have never been. Being apostolic was not about just doing things in Jesus' name. It was not about wearing a long black skirt and a white blouse and baptizing a certain way. It was not that apostolic. Apostolic was always a denomination, but that's not what we were talking about in Living Waters Christian Fellowship. We were talking about an activation of the Holy Spirit, a worldwide movement. Yes. We were talking about moving from the seats to the streets. We were talking about maturing from being taught to being the teacher.
Yes.
We were talking about getting up out of your seat and taking this gospel around the world. We were talking about apostolic in that dimension where you would grow up in Christ and now not have to amass a large number of people, but we were talking about a training center that would send pastors and teachers and apostles and evangelists all over the globe. Living Waters, this church should never reach 5,000 members, should never reach 1,000 members. I'm telling you now, it is struggling to stay at 600 members because that's too big. You ought to always have somebody ready to go and ready to now carry this gospel. And so it's not reducing or shrinking, it's growing by going out, not by coming in. Tradition was bringing you in and holding you, restricting you, encapsulating you, and then building a bigger jail to keep you in. It was about building a larger prison to hold more captives, when apostolic was about building it to the size to grow leadership and then releasing you to do what you've seen. You see, this ministry has to be a training center to get apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers out. And so now we're not worrying about how many come to join. We're worrying about how many come to be developed.
Yes.
And however many are developed, you can take as many as you need to help us develop.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's what we're talking about when we're talking about apostolic, a growing and maturing to release, not to hold, to captivate, and to keep. And so some have been around, some have been here already too long. But by now, you ought to have people under you and ought to be preaching to them. And let me say this without getting in trouble. Who cares about trouble?
Nobody.
Nobody care about no trouble. Sometimes you need to get in trouble. That's how you left home the first time. You had trouble with your parents. You wouldn't have left if you didn't get in trouble with them. So some of us have to get to that point where we're not afraid to try. And let me help you. If you go out and it don't work, these doors will always be open for you to come back. Amen. Give God a praise right there.
Amen.
If you go out and it don't work the first time, these doors will always be open for you to return and, amen, to figure it out.
Return
so that
home.
You can go out again. Amen.
Yes.
Go ahead and give God a praise right there. Let me say what I'm saying with this. What I'm saying with this, as believers, we have to continue growing beyond the basics of faith. Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. Let's close with this scripture. It says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. Look at this, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. If you've been around the body of Christ any amount of time, you know you can't be saved by works. So stop running around with the Martha syndrome, fussing at people because you're doing something and they ain't.
Wow.
Every time the church got to be clean, they ain't never in here. But as soon as you open up the mic for prophesying, here they go. They run right to the front. That's where they supposed to be. They prophets.
They the prophets.
Every joint supplies. Hallelujah.
They come when they're needed. You come when you're needed. Be excited about what you do.
Hallelujah.
And then let them be excited about what they do. Leave the immature things behind.
Yes.
They're not more anointed than you because they prophesy. They're just doing their assignment, and you're doing your assignment. And each joint supplies.
Yes.
If Eric don't turn on the sound, you don't hear what they prophesy. He amplifies their voice, and so he becomes credible and necessary to them.
Yes.
And Wave and James don't hit the right chord and open you up to receive. They prophesying to dead, dry ground.
Yes.
And so they open you up as a conduit to be able to take in what he's about to prophesy. But you don't go over fussing at Waverly and James. You don't go back there messing with E. But you mess with other people that got titles because we have a crap mentality and we're supposed to be mature. You want to pull down what you think is over you, but you don't mess with what's below you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I ain't going to even finish this scripture. We'll pick back up next week right there. Go ahead and close some kind of way. I don't even know if we do no altar call. Matter of fact, I really don't want to do an altar call because I want you to hear this whole word before you just run up here.
Yeah.
But I do want to say this. Anybody that heard something today and you say, man, I'm ready to grow
I'm
already.
I'm ready.
I just want you to stand
That's
up.
That's all you got to say.
I'm ready to grow
I'm
already.
I'm ready to grow.
I don't want you to make a false declaration. I don't want you to make a false statement and come up here. We've had altar calls where people say, I want to serve in this capacity. We sent you to evangelism. We sent you to all of the prison ministry.
Yes, we have.
We sent you to go out. And, man, ain't nobody been to the prison. I don't mean that literally because Elder Clea and Elder Roussel and Minister Jamila and those, they do go to the prison. Maris, they do go, but it should be a lot more because a lot more people gave their names.
Yes, that's it.
We came up here and we said children's ministry, but when I look at the roster, it's the same 20-some leaders that was in children's ministry a year ago when about 30 more people came and said they wanted to teach.
Yes.
When we look at teen ministry, Elder Ray them have gone through the gamut trying to find one or two leaders that give the leaders that's back there a break.
Yes.
When we look at evangelism and do those things, you see, this is not a knock or a critique or a beating of the sheep, but this is an awareness to let you know there's room for you in this ministry.
Yes.
There's a place for you in this ministry. There's an assignment for you in this ministry. The media ministry, most people, I want to get the word. I don't want to sit down and stand up on a camera.
Yes.
Don't you realize when you give the word to the nations,
the
Holy Spirit will give the word to you? And when we're ministering with the mic, you're ministering with the camera, and you're taking the message to Korea, to South Carolina, to New Jersey, to Germany, to Afghanistan, to Iraq, where else we are? We're missing. Mississippi, we're Mexico,
Delaware,
this gospel, we get comments back from D.C. and from Fredericksburg and from all of these places because Carlos on that camera, because big man over here on this camera, I can't see him real good, Archibald
is
on this camera, you understand? We carry this gospel to the nations because of the ministry that they provide, but you see them, you don't see that person behind that wall. All sitting right behind embracing people. There's a technical director. They ain't even in the room. They looking at a video screen right now, getting the message to the masses. You see, they sacrifice that service, and you sit in every week. There's room for you to give of yourself, amen, in ministry. And I don't want to give a specific altar call for joining the church. We would love to have you as a part of this ministry if you believe God sent you.
Amen.
You see, I wouldn't even want you to join this ministry if you're not convinced that God sent you, because every week I'll have to convince you to stay.
Wow. Come on, Pastor C.
And I'm tired of convincing grown people to be where they should be or where they ought to leave. Let me say this as a principle. We never lock the doors. The doors are open when you come in, and they're open when you leave. And we still love you the same way. It's not a matter of making you a hostage. It's a matter of partnering with you because because God has sent you.
Yes.
And now let me just say this. If there's one or two in this room this morning that heard us, and you said, Pastor C, I want to be that partner.
Amen.
I want to partner with you in the ministry, and you ain't got to convince me, because I know God sent me because I follow the leading of the Spirit. I never would have came to Living Waters if the Lord didn't send me, and he wouldn't have sent me if there wasn't something for me to grow and be developed in. If that's you, I don't care if it's one, or I don't care if it's 101. I want you to come forward
Come forth.